Welcome to Restoring Home, where we talk about marriage, parenting, and faith. And today our topic is great influences, how to shape your children through great role models. And our guests are Steve and Laura Ross, and they are the co-founders of Armor of Hope and have been involved in missions in Honduras for 21 years. And so we're glad to have you here and excited to hear the stories. We've been talking ahead of time about stories we're going to be sharing, and we halted you from telling them yet so we could hear them fresh. And so Donna and I have questions and want to talk about that. One of the reasons that we chose this topic today is because we've been impacted in our lives mm-hmm. by encounters with different people, particularly missionaries, not exclusively, but by them particularly. And there was a saying that I read in a over a hallway of a recovery center one time. It says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." And that is so true, that mm-hmm. who we hang with, who we are friends with, shapes our character and our future. And so we thought it'd be really important to have a little time together on Restoring Home to talk about to illustrate really how being with people of character, of service, of faith, of Christian ministry influences us so powerfully. Mm-hmm. And we know in our lives that it's been the case with us that we've been influenced by other people. And so I wanted to ask Donna first, before we get to you guys, we want to hear from you, and you'll be doing most of the storytelling, but mm-hmm. I wanted Donna to have a chance real quick just to share some instances of just how people's stories or how people have been influential for you and for myself.
Well, all of this makes me think about how really powerful a story is. We want to know people, but sometimes just knowing the story. And I wouldn't have known this at the time, but when I was in probably about, I think even fourth or fifth grade, I went to the library at the school and I got a book called Christy. And I read that book and I was just like, oh, I want to be like Christy. I want to give my life to people. And yet I was living in a very chaotic home mm-hmm. situation and never would have imagined. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I got a chance in high school to go to Appalachia.
And who is
Christy? Is a real person who lived in Asheville, and the book, her mother, Catherine Marshall, wrote the book about her life story. And as an 18-year-old, I think, she graduated from high school and then left Asheville, North Carolina, and went to the mountains, I think, in Tennessee. And was a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I was fascinated by that story. I think I read that book at least two or three times throughout my even teen years. And then I got to go to Appalachia in high school mm-hmm. with a church in the Falls. And it was wonderful. I was just like, this is so cool. Then when I went to college, Steve and I, we had just met. And it was at that time we ended up getting to go to something called a World Mission Workshop, where we met tons of missionaries. But I remember in particular this one missionary from Venezuela telling stories.
Bob Brown.
And we just were fascinated. We were just like, wow, mm-hmm. we want to do that. And we had just started dating. So we both were kind of at the same moment became interested in missions. And thankfully, even that year, there was a visiting missionary from Kenya who worked with the Kipsigis, he always said. And we were just like, wow, we will never go to the Kipsigis, but maybe we'll be on the mission field. We ended up working with the tribe related to the Kipsigis in Kenya because they influenced us. So,
and then later on, we ended up spending 25 years in Appalachia,
in Appalachia,
the mountains in Tennessee.
Yeah. So right. You don't even know a book you might read, a person you meet, a story you hear. It's so powerful. So that's why we want you guys to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's
so let me ask you the first question. So share a bit about, how did you get interested in missions?
Well, I was raised in a family of faith, so that mm-hmm. there was nothing new about faith and God, and I believed in God. But when I was about 10 years old, I had my first experience listening to a missionary, mm-hmm. and it was a gentleman who was working in a country in Africa, I don't remember which one, and he was telling stories. And I can remember sitting there in that church pew totally engrossed in every word that he said. And to this day, I can still remember my mindset, how I just, I like couldn't even take my eyes off of him. I was afraid I'd miss a word of his story. And I went home, and I was a serious type child. And I chewed on that for days, and I remembered those stories and retold them in my mind. And I can remember one afternoon I walked into the kitchen and declared to my father, I'm going to be a missionary when I grow up. I was 10 years old. And while it took a long time to get where I am now, and it didn't happen right away or as soon as I turned 18 or as soon as I was an adult, it was that seed was planted so early in my life. And I just never lost that dream.
That's cool. So let me ask you, who are some people that influenced you, some others maybe, or who are people who influenced you toward God or towards missions?
Well, of course, my parents, because I was raised in a family of faith. But as when I was, and it happened about the same time, I was about in the fourth or fifth grade, and I had a Sunday school teacher. It was a man named Lacey Taylor. And he had this gift of making the Bible come alive. I can say for the first time, I really wanted to get in there and read it myself and study it myself. And so then he did a whole section on Paul.
I knew you were going to say
and
that.
And his missionary journeys, and we followed him on the map and all the stories in Paul's journeys. And that just kind of kept the ball rolling. Well, then life happened, and I got married, and I had children, and raised those children. And then when my kids were in their teen years, the teen group was going on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. And so my oldest son, Dan, had the privilege of going on that trip. And it was a week, I think it was a week or two, I'm not sure, a short-term mission. And he came back a totally changed human being. I mean, it just does something to your person. And I watched him, and I just couldn't believe this transformation. But it sparked that desire I had way back when I was a little girl again. And then I eventually got to go into the mission field with that same youth group to Honduras as a chaperone. And so then, you know, they just kind of built from there. Met Steve. I was married to Steve then, but we were young in our marriage, and he was such an encouragement in saying, this is your heart's desire, and I can just see God in this for you. And he just came right along, and when I met him, his parents were in Africa, in Tanzania, and here was a woman in Africa serving in a situation similar to what I would be serving in, and she kind of became this little hero for me, a little missions hero that...
That's Steve's mom?
Yeah, Steve's mom. And we still have the privilege of talking. We did just last night and sharing our stories. And it's amazing how so many of them are similar since we worked in third world settings. So those are just probably some of the most, those who had the most influence in getting me kind of on that track that I started way back when I was 10 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Steve, what about yourself? There are some stories of people... Evidently mom, but maybe there are more.
Well, I grew up, my father a minister, and a lot of our friends were missionaries to different parts of the world. And of course, at night when they would come over and sit there with my parents, you'd hear all these stories. And it was a very exciting thing. I had always wanted to go to Russia and had friends that were missionaries there and had looked at that. And about the same time Laura got the offer to go to Honduras, I got the offer to go to Russia. And so we talked about it, and we decided that we would let God open the door as to whoever got the funding to go would get to go, because they were at the same time. And we couldn't leave the kids, so one of us could go, and the other would stay home. And as I'm writing my letters the next day to get support, Laura comes home and tells me I got my support. And I'll be leaving very soon. So that's the way that happened, and it just never stopped after that. It just kept pointing to Honduras. And so we've always been excited about following whatever door God opens up. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of steps in faith.
Yeah. Yes. I know recently you went down, Laura, because of the flooding and the right. all that went on down in Honduras a few months ago. And Steve was, again, staying behind, holding down the fort, prayerful, and just taking care of things so that allowed you the opportunity to go down and be there
Correct.
For as a month or more, was it a month?
6 weeks.
6 weeks, yeah, and serve down there. So you have a lot of stories from those 21 years.
Oh, yes.
And so I ask you to choose one or two to share with us now, at least some something from your experience that's been memorable or meaningful to you, just a quick story. We may have more later. In fact, we will.
We'll have two short ones.
All right.
They're short.
Well, you don't have to have them too short, but we'd like to hear them.
But I think so often that we think that missionaries go down and they present the gospel and they present God and they change lives. But I found with me so often, it was the other way around, that my life was changed by things mm-hmm. I saw mm-hmm. and its circumstances mm-hmm. I was in. One of them in particular this happened probably 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago. A man named Felix, an older man, and he was in his 80s, and his wife, Fidelia, was blind. Mm-hmm. She also was in her 80s. And they lived in this little tiny mud house, dirt floor, little clay oven outside. The only piece of furniture they owned was a bed inside that was handmade. And they just, whatever they had, old clothes, whatever, was what they put on that bed to make it soft so mm-hmm. they could lay on it. Everything else was in bags or something, just laying on the floor, hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. They were just extremely poor by any standard I had mm-hmm. seen, even at a village standard where I had been working. Anyways, Fidelia had been sick, was having some problems, and one evening I was coming back into the village. It was late, it was dark, and I was making my way with my flashlight down the path mm-hmm. to their home to bring some medicine, and I could hear Phyllis's voice. I couldn't see him with my flashlight. He was inside the house. Fidelia was sitting outside the house on a tree stump, just outside the door. And as I walked up and just kind of, the door was open to their home. It's just a little tiny one room home. I could see his back and his hands were raised and he was facing the wall. I mean, he was probably close to touching the wall with mm-hmm. his face. And he was praying probably one of the most beautiful prayers mm-hmm. of thankfulness for all God had given him. Mm-hmm. He was praying for his home and for his food and his clothing and his bed and his stove. And he was naming these gifts off one by one, his mm-hmm. wife, the son, the, you know, for the crops that God was allowing him to grow. And I thought, you know, here I had seen all of this poverty. And all he saw was blessing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that moment has literally changed something in me mm-hmm. about all
Glad
the blessings. About all the blessings that I have.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when I think, you know, I don't have that. Sometimes I found out it's a blessing not to have something, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was one. And then just recently through these hurricanes and, you know, to have two major Category 4 hurricanes hit Honduras within 10 days and hit the area where I work the hardest. We had whole homes, whole neighborhoods literally washed away. And we met with a woman who lived in one of these areas, met her. Her home was washed away, all the homes. There were 15 homes just literally gone. And I was asking her how she was doing. And how her family, she had two little boys. Mm-hmm. Her husband was off working, so I did not get a chance to meet him. And all she could do was praise God. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. another reminder mm-hmm. that in the worst situation, there's something to praise God for. And she was saying, I just praise God. We're all alive. We made it, you mm-hmm. know. And we've had neighbors who've helped us with food and we've had this help and that help, and we're making it. No, we haven't been sick. We were worried about the water situation. Would we end up getting sick? And she said, it's been wonderful. And I'm looking at her standing outside the home. Now, the home she's living in now is just whatever scraps they could find to make walls, a dirt floor, you know, this tin roof that was made out of tin they found laying all over after the hurricane, and they pieced it and parted it. And yet this is a woman who was praising God. And so I think for me, those are just two times, there were many, but two times where I just look and I think, it just makes me want to thank God for every little thing I have.
Wow. You know, when you're on the mission field and you see the poverty and you see situations that are beyond what you are capable of handling or knowing what to do even, it puts you on your knees more, sometimes more often than we experience in our normal everyday life where we feel like we have some control. And you also have a sense of being on the front lines, just kind of like, okay, I'm in the enemy's territory, so we've got to be on our knees. So what are some prayer answers that you've seen that you can share with us, just those stories?
Yeah, and there are so many that trying to sometimes figure out how to which one to tell. But one, just from a very practical standpoint, we had reached a point in ministry. We had been renting vehicles because I was going down for short periods of time, and then there was time for getting longer and longer. And we thought, you know, we're at a point now. I'm down there for months, and we need a vehicle to function. Our ministry had grown, and those dollars weren't there. And I wasn't really used to praying for a material possession. My background kind of discouraged that. And I talked with Steve about it, and I said, I think we're at that point. And the only thing we need to do, just pray, is we have to lay this before God. And Steve was more specific than I was in this. He said, let's not only pray, let's look at a time. I mean, we need this now. Let's ask God to provide it by a certain time. And that challenged me. Kind of, you know, like, okay, I kind of did that, started biting my lip, you know. So we did. We started praying. And we were at the very last day of that time frame that he had asked God to provide it by. And I opened up my email that morning, and there was this email from a total stranger. Now, this stranger was a friend of a friend kind of thing through a work connection of his. And come to find out, this person and his wife were missionaries in Honduras and were returning back to the States, and they had a truck that they would like to gift us. And I'm just, I was so blown away. I called Steve. I said, you are not going to believe this. And he was much more confident than I was. But he just stood, he goes, yep, that's God, isn't it? That's just how he does things in his time in a way that there's not denying how it happened. So, you know, that was a huge answer prayer way back early in ministry that got me really bold about asking for things I saw as a human being really tough. And I guess the toughest prayers that I have ever prayed was for his health. 2 years ago, I think this month or close to this time of year, in spring, he was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is basically a death sentence. And we were told by the pulmonary specialist he had probably a year and a half to 2 years to live. That was 2 years ago. And at that point, I think I just couldn't even hold back the flood of prayer. Anyway, it wasn't satisfying enough that I was on my knees begging. I needed everyone I knew to do the same thing. And I was literally begging God for a miracle, like a bona fide one of those miracles you read about in the Bible. And I st- started a group. Everyone I knew, I was sending email, would you pray for Steve, would you, you know, and just made it an all-out effort. And we even kind of made a Facebook group and called it Steve's Prayer Warriors. Mm-hmm. And it just, God was faithful to that.
Yeah.
And
that's beautiful.
When we went to the pulmonary specialist, and she walked in and she asked Steve, so how are you feeling? He said, I'm healed. And she just kind of, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, let me listen to your lungs. And she did. And she got a really puzzled look on her face. She said, excuse me for a minute. She walked out of the room. She came back in and she pulled up her computer. She said, all right, so these are the lungs we saw on you. Just, I think that was your year checkup or 6 month checkup. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And she said, but I'm not really hearing anything, maybe tiny something, but, you know. And Steve said, well, that's because God healed me. And she's like, well, you know, she said, I'm glad that you think. You could tell she just couldn't deal with that as an answer.
Yeah.
But he was so bold in saying that, that God healed me. And we both became very bold in saying that. Because there is that thing where, you know, well, what if if they misdiagnosed, what if, and we got past, I got past it. I mean, he was way past it. I got past it because I'm kind of the scientifically minded thinker, you know, I want things to be logical. So I literally had to pray the prayer that we find in scripture, God help my unbelief.
I've prayed that.
You answered it, and then I'm still doubting what's wrong with me. And so I was, you know, really asking him to forgive me and to help my unbelief, because I'm seeing it before my eyes. And even his last check, his lungs are doing good. And we just, so
praise God.
Long story, but probably my best prayer story as far as really seeing God's hand in our life in a huge way.
And it's those stories that, like yours, and even though we've been talking about missions and missionaries and being influenced by that, that's just been our experience, but it's to illustrate the point, which is that when you're around godly people, people of character, whether it's in service or just character, they have godly character, they have faith. Doesn't have to be, that prayer was not on a mission field, that was here in Ohio. And so, and it was family, it wasn't some foreign tribe or some city outside of here. And so, to have our children hear those stories. You were 10?
Yes.
You were young, you were a child whenever you ran into the Christie story and read that. So when we're young, especially up until and around 12, is really, we can be very, we can be impacted in such a way that it does change our lives. It gives some trajectory to it. And so we encourage parents, make sure to get your kids in front of those kinds of stories and those kinds of people. So when the missionary or the evangelist, when somebody's visiting in the community who is one of these people who's been out and seen God work or has been engaged in something and working with God, invite them over. Have them over for a sandwich, have them for a cup of coffee and say, would you mind telling a few stories? And you make sure the kids are sitting right there and all the computers are off and all the video, turn that off and have them right there so they can hear it, because it will change their lives. It will give them that direction that you want them to have. I do remember certain stories that were told. Bob Brown, this man, I was in college, probably a sophomore in college, but Bob Brown's telling us stories of people whose lives had been changed. When I walked out of that room, I said, I don't want to do it, God, but I think I should. I didn't want to leave home, to be honest, but I thought I should. And then I ran into others who were telling more stories, and those stories just would not let me alone. And then we had our own stories, and they've affected our children. And so there are other stories that we have gotten that we didn't meet the person, but we read them. And so Donna has a series that's here at the library here at Beth Tacoon, the Mission Center at Beth Tacoon. It's a whole series.
There's more, I think.
What's it called? Janet and Jeff.
Christian Heroes.
It's called Christian Heroes, then and now, like Amy Carmichael and Nate Saint, and George Mueller. George Mueller's story impacted my life profoundly as an adult. And so there are stories out there that I encourage parents, find those. Make sure your kids read those. Hudson Taylor's story is terrific. And some of them are more like on the level of children. And so, you know, young children, some are more young adult level, but they're all influential. So we're encouraging people to get that. There are going to be some resources that we're going to have for everyone at the end of this episode. And so down in the comments, you'll find some that Laura and Steve are recommending, some reading materials for faith building. And we're going to mention some books and some biographies and autobiographies that we recommend as well that you can get. And I think you're willing, we talked about it earlier, I'm going to go ahead and sign you on the dotted line here, but after we close here in just a few minutes, we're going to go ahead and have story time with you guys and let you tell some more of those stories, maybe a little more detail, and we'll have a link to that available in the comments as well, so you can sit around with the kids, and you can get your hot chocolate or cold drink or whatever it is and sit down and draw them all together, and you can listen to some more stories of faith. So that your kids will be affected in the same way. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. I love sitting around doing this with you all. You're great. So thank you. And so that'll be another episode of Restoring Home. And we hope you've enjoyed it. And we really hope that you'll take the time to influence your children, allow others to influence your children by putting them in proximity of people who have faith and character and a great story. God bless.